Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Long before Jesus gave that great commission to his 11 apostles on that mountain in Galilee that you heard about in the third lesson this evening, God gave a commission to his prophet Ezekiel to speak to the people of Israel on God's behalf and to give them God's message. You heard a part of that preaching in the first lesson this evening. I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. And that judgment would be very strict, because the house of Israel had the very words of God handed down to them, had access to them for 1,000 years. They were told what idolatry was, to fear or to love or to trust in someone or something more than in the Lord God. And yet they continued in their idolatry. They were told what it was to take the Lord's name in vain and warned not to do it, and yet they continued to take the Lord's name in vain by preaching things that were not true, preaching things that the Lord had never said, like, there will be peace for all of you impenitent people in Israel. That was taking the Lord's name in vain. They were told how God was to be honored on the Sabbath day, which pointed them ahead to the great Sabbath rest that the Lord would give through the Messiah who would come, and that he now gives through the ministry of the Word. But instead of observing the Sabbaths, they broke the Sabbaths. They were told to honor their father and their mother, and yet they dishonored their father and their mother. They were told not to commit murder, and yet they committed murder, if not with their hands, then with their hearts. They were told not to commit adultery, but they engaged in sex outside of marriage and got divorces for unscriptural reasons. They were told in the law not to steal, and yet they stole. They were told not to give false testimony, and yet they engaged in deceit and deception. They were told not to covet their neighbor's house or anything that belonged to their neighbor, and yet they allowed their sinful desires to keep consuming them. And so God sent Ezekiel to tell them, these people who had the word of God spelled out for them and yet rejected it, judgment is coming. But judgment isn't restricted to the house of Israel. It's coming for the nations too, for the Gentiles. Now, at the time of Ezekiel and at the time of Christ, you might at least say that at that time the nations had somewhat of an excuse. Well, we've never heard this word of God. We've never heard the commandments of God. We've never heard his promises either. We're Gentiles. We're among the nations. God hasn't given his word to us. Not that God let them off as if that were a valid excuse. As Paul writes to the Romans, the Gentiles too are judged by God according to the law that he has written into our hearts, the hearts of all men. It's obscured by sin. Our consciences are hardened and seared as with a hot iron, and yet God still has left remnants of his law in the hearts of all men so that all men have a basic knowledge of what virtue is and what vice is. All men know that they are to seek God and that they really are not to seek him in his creation in wood and stone and in animals or in nature, but to seek him above and outside of his creation. And yet men don't do that. The nations didn't worship him in that way, haven't worshiped him in that way. And more often than not, people engage in vice instead of virtue, even knowing the difference. So judgment was coming for Israel, and judgment was coming for the Gentiles, for the nations. Although Israel at that time would receive a greater judgment, because Israel at that time had been told explicitly in the scriptures about the true God and about his will. While the Gentiles hadn't then, although you might say that the Gentiles have now for the most part, the more opportunities a person is given to know the truth about sin and about the true God and about his requirements, the worse it will be for that person who continues in his or her sin. Still, the nations must know, because knowing and repenting and believing is still the only way for anyone to escape the judgment that is coming, for all have sinned, both Jews and Gentiles. And so the Lord Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, sent out the 11, and he gave them this command: all authority and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, this verb, make disciples of, is related to the noun for disciple, which literally means a learner. Other languages simply translate the verb as teach, as the King James Version did. Go and teach all the nations. That teaching includes the call to repentance, just as Peter included it in his teaching on the day of Pentecost as he taught the people of Jerusalem how they had sinned by being complicit in the crucifixion of the Christ. Ezekiel included that teaching too: turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you've committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. It's as we heard on Sunday, Jesus' words to Nicodemus: you can't remain as you are. You can't keep living as you do. Turn away from the things that God calls sins and transgressions, and get a new heart and a new spirit. In other words, repent. But what good would it do to turn away from sin if the sins that you've already committed and the sins that remain part of your nature are unatoned for? If you punch somebody in the face and you stop punching them in the face, you still have to deal with the fact that you punched somebody in the face. So too with the law of God. Even if you were to stop sinning against God, which no one is entirely able to do, you still have to deal with the sins you have committed against God. And that's why Jesus came, why he had to come. The only way to atone for the sins of man was for the Son of God to become the Son of Man and to atone for all the wrongs that mankind has done with his perfect life and with his innocent death on the cross. No other atonement for sins can be made by anyone. Jesus paid for them all, paid the price that God requires for sinners to be justified. And so the prophets and the apostles taught the Jews and the nations to repent, and then taught them to know that God would give in the case of the prophets, or that God had given in the case of the apostles, his own Son as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And then the apostles were to teach all the nations to believe in the Christ and to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That was the nutshell of their message. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. That was part of their message too. Teaching the nations includes teaching them that in holy baptism, the one God, who is three persons, washes away their sins, places his name on them, clothes them with Christ, connects them to the death and resurrection of Christ, and makes them members of his beloved bride, the Holy Christian Church. We talked about all that on Sunday as well. And so we teach sin. We teach repentance. We teach Christ crucified and risen from the dead. We teach faith and baptism. And then we baptize those who wish to be baptized with the full authority that Christ has given and still gives to ministers in the world to teach and to baptize anyone and everyone among all the nations. But the teaching doesn't stop with baptizing people. Jesus didn't end the Great Commission there. He went on teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. No one who truly comes to faith in the Lord Jesus and receives his baptism can then willingly walk away from his ongoing teaching or intentionally go on living in sin. No, ministers are to teach the baptized. Ministers are to teach them God's word and God's will, teach them to pray, teach them to keep turning away from sin and turning toward righteousness and holiness as God the Holy Spirit remakes the baptized children of God into the holy and pure image of Christ. We are to teach them to observe the Lord's Supper, where the Lord Jesus gives his true body and blood to strengthen us all the way through this life. Teaching the nations is still the work that Christ has given his church to carry out here on earth, because judgment is still coming. And it's coming even more powerfully now, because both Jews and Gentiles, all the nations, have heard the word of God, have been told right and wrong, have been commanded to repent and to believe in Jesus the Christ for salvation, and most of them haven't repented, haven't turned from their sins. Practically the whole world bears the guilt of the house of Israel, because practically the whole world, like Israel, has heard the teaching of Christ's apostles and has turned it down. Still, as the Lord cried out through the prophet Ezekiel, so he still cries out, "Why should you die, O house of Israel? Why should you die, O you nations of the earth? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live." Turn and live. That's what we teach all the nations. Turn and live. Repent and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Be baptized and observe all the things that Christ has commanded. And we're not alone on the earth as we teach or as we live in the world as Christians, because we also have that beautiful promise of Jesus. "Behold, I am with you always," literally all the days, even to the end of the age. So turn and live. Repent and believe. Believe and be baptized. Be baptized and observe the teaching of Christ, who is still with his beloved church, with all his grace and love and strength and help. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.